You're listening to From the Pulpit by Sahlein. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider becoming our patron by donating at sahlein.org/support.
The Holy Quran indicates that one of the qualities of believers is that they consult each other. The Holy Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. The Quran describes the believers in three ways, three traits that they have. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters. We should try to achieve these traits as believers. The month of Ramadan, we're trying to build ourselves. Number one, the Holy Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. They pledge their allegiance to Allah. They answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any verse in the Holy Quran that calls for something, they fulfill that duty. Number two, وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ. They are steadfast in their salah. And number three, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. And they conduct their affairs with consultation. Meaning, a quality of a believer is that he always consults others, always asks advice for others. At the end of the day, no matter how smart, intelligent, wise, experienced I think I may be, I am an imperfect human being. And my judgment sometimes may not be the best judgment. So thus it makes sense, if you want to make a decision, if you want to take action, first seek advice. Ask other people, see what they think, because maybe you're only looking at the situation from one angle. And when you ask other people and seek their advice, they can show you other angles and other perspectives. And when you have all these perspectives in front of you, you can definitely make a better decision. And that's why you find, read about the successful people in life throughout history. They all have one common habit. What? They have advisors. Correct? They have advisors. They have advisory boards. Whether it is people who are successful in business, they have advisory boards. Many of these companies, correct? Leaders, successful leaders, they have advisors that always, what? That always try to show them, that always try to guide them. And they seek their guidance and they seek their advice before making important decisions. And likewise, look at, for example, Rasulullah and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. They would likewise seek the advice of their companions. In fact, Allah orders Rasulullah in the Quran to seek the advice of his companions, to consult them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Ya Rasulullah, if it was not for your akhlaq, for the fact that you're so nice and respectful and polite, the people, your companions, would have abandoned you. So Ya Rasulullah, be merciful with them. Be forgiving if they make mistakes. And then the Quran says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And consult them. Ask them for their opinion. Ask them for their advice. Now I ask you, when you are the messenger of Allah and you can ask Allah, do you need to ask your companions who are fallible? If I am ma'soom, infallible, why should I ask people who are not ma'soom, who are fallible? I can just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah guides me. No. The Quran wants to set an example that even Rasulullah seeks advice. Even Rasulullah consults other people. Yes, the Prophet didn't need his ashab, because you could have asked Jibra'il. Jibra'il, go and ask Allah, what should I do now? Where should I go? Correct? What should I do in this situation? But he wanted to teach us a lesson and set an example that if you want to have a successful community, you have to seek the advice of others, especially if you're a community leader. If you're a community leader, you're on a board of a masjid, you're influential, people respect you, don't make decisions independently. Seek the advice of others. Rasulullah was ordered by Allah to seek advice. أنا أحسن من رسول الله. I'm more knowledgeable than Rasulullah. I have more expertise than Rasulullah. This is a very arrogant way of thinking. When I think that I don't need to consult, I don't need to ask other people for advice. For example, it is reported that in times of war, Rasulullah would always seek the advice of his companions. And I'll give you two examples. One is mentioned in the Battle of Badr. These are the days of Battle of Badr, 16, 17 Ramadan. This is the anniversary of the first battle in Islam, the Battle of Badr. It is reported that Rasulullah consulted his ashab in two matters. Number one, when they arrived to the location, the Muslimin were only 313 people. News reached the Prophet that the Kuffar are coming with 1,000 warriors. 300 versus 1,000. So we are outnumbered big time. What do we do? Rasulullah could have independently made the decision. But it is reported that Rasulullah said, "Ashiru alayya ashabi." My ashab, I ask you, what do you think? Should we stay and fight or should we go back to Medina? It's reported that he asked them and most of them said, "La ya Rasulullah, let us stay." In takunu, what? The verse of the Holy Quran says, "In takunu mi'atan taghlibu alfan bi'idhnillah," right? If you're 100, you can defeat 1,000. That the numbers don't matter. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the verse. And in the end, they were victorious. So he consulted his ashab. Should we go and stay? They said stay. And then that they decided to stay, where should they set their camp? Where should they settle? They needed a strategic place. So he asked his ashab, as the hadith says. This is when one of his companions by the name of Al-Hubab ibn al-Mundhir, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I think we should come and settle in this area." And Rasulullah, he accepted. Rasulullah, he followed the advice of his companion. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in the Battle of Badr, you find he shows us practically how we have to be humble. We have to seek the advice of other people, even if they are not as educated as us, even if they are not that great like us. Another example, in the Battle of Al-Ahzab. Battle of Al-Ahzab, the Muslims are in their city in Medina. The mushrikeen of the pagans of Quraysh, they conspire with the Jews of Bani Qurayza and they launch a war against the Muslims. They're coming on the way. Rasulullah, he gathers his ashab, "What should we do? What advice do you give me?" Salman al-Farisi, it's reported, he told Rasulullah, "Brothers and sisters, I want you to pay attention to a word that I'm repeating. Why do I keep on saying it's reported? There's a reason, because I'm fasting. And you know, one of the mufattirat is al-kadhib ala Allah wa Rasulah, right? If you say something about Rasulullah, which is not true. So I can't just come out and say that these things happened for sure. I say it's reported. Because at the end of the day, we don't know. We have a hadith. So are they sahih? Are they not sahih? Even the hadith of it sahih, we can't be 100% sure. You know, as someone said, tiqdar tahlif bil Abbas. I cannot, you know, swear in the Abbas that the Prophet did this. So it's reported. So when I give my lectures in Ramadan, I always try to mention this disclaimer. It's reported. Ruwiya, qila. So that if it wasn't true, it will not affect my fast. Anyway, this is just as a benefit. So Salman al-Farisi, it's reported, he told Rasulullah, "I have an idea." This is an idea that we used to have, what? In Bilad Faris, in the Persian Empire, when I was there. Let's build a what? Let's dig a trench. Let's dig a khandaq, a trench, a big trench. They say that it was more than 2 meters or 3 meters wide so that the enemies, when they come, they cannot enter the city with their horses, right? The horse can't jump that much. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted. And this is when they surrounded the Muslims, the city of Medina, with a trench. And that's why when the Kuffar came, that battle was known as Harb al-Khandaq. The Battle of Khandaq. Khandaq means the trench. So it was called the Battle of the Trenches. Who came up with this idea? As it's reported, Salman. Rasulullah asked his companions and he gave him this idea. So this was a habit of Rasulullah, a quality of Rasulullah, to ask his companions. Likewise, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. We read, for example, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Fudayl, one of his companions, he says, Al-Imam al-Sadiq one day calls me and he says, "I want to seek your advice." Fudayl says, "I was surprised. Ya ibn Rasulullah, you are the Imam and you want to seek my advice?" He said, "Yes, what's the problem? You are an expert in this field and I will, for example, seek your advice in this field." Imam al-Sadiq sought advice from his companions. Another example, Imam al-Rida alayhi salam, Mu'ammar ibn Khalad, says that one day, one of the servants of Imam al-Rida died. Imam al-Rida needs another servant. The servant has to be trustworthy. He has to be someone that the Imam can rely on, correct? Not anyone can become the servant of Imam al-Rida. So Mu'ammar ibn Khalad says, Imam al-Rida calls me. He says, I need your help. I'm asking for you to give me advice. Who should I choose as my next servant? Mu'ammar ibn Khalad says, I was shocked. Ibn Rasulullah, you ask me to help you in this situation? He says, I saw the Imam, Imam Rida was angered. And he told me, yes, what's the problem? Rasulullah used to consult his ashab. So why should I not consult my ashab? You see, this shows the humility of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And I saw up to 175 hadiths in my research, brothers and sisters. Up to 175 hadiths from Rasulullah and the Imams, all telling us one thing. Make sure that you make it a habit to seek advice. Don't make decisions independently. No. Seek advice, consult, and then make decisions. 175 hadiths. That shows you this is something very important.